And before we read the passage, shall I just pray that God would speak to us through his word, and as I try and explain it, what a great thing to sing before we come to God's word. Lord, have your way in me. And let's pray that by the Spirit of God, through the word of God, he will have his way in us tonight and strengthen us and Hannah and Isabel for the life of faith he calls us to. Let's pray. Loving Lord, we thank you so much that you have made us for yourself, and we are restless until we find our rest in you. Lord, we want to give our hearts and our souls and our minds to you now. And we pray that by your Spirit, you'd cut into our hearts through your words and bring change and boldness and alertness for the Christian life and the Christian battle we face day by day. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter 4, verses 1 to 11, page 1219. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body has finished with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regards to the body, but live according to God in regards to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Well, tonight is a celebration that Jesus changes people's lives. That's why I have these two screens either side of me, these testimonies we have up around the building. They're there because Jesus is changing people's lives. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God tonight for Isabel and Hannah. The Lord Jesus has changed the course of their lives. And that's certainly true for the Apostle Peter, isn't it, who writes this letter to these scattered believers and churches. Jesus has changed his life. He's got an amazing story, isn't he? One day he was a regular local fisherman, and Jesus called him to follow him, and he left his nets and he followed Jesus. He knew Jesus firsthand. He was an eyewitness to the glory of Jesus, the God-man. He saw his amazing miracles. He heard him teach like no other. He was an eyewitness to the horrific ordeal of Jesus' sufferings. Arrested, falsely accused, crucified, buried, and risen and ascended to glory. And Peter had seen that firsthand. But he's also a guy who knows what it is to chicken out on standing up for Jesus when the pressure was on. He said to Jesus, Lord, I will never let you down. I'll follow you to the end. I will never deny you. But what happens? Around that fireplace, Jesus being on trial, he's asked three times, do you know that man? And what does he choose? The path of suffering or the path of the easy life? No, I just don't know him. Again and again and again, and the cockerel crows, and he feels gutted that he's let Jesus down. He did not stand fast when the heat was on. But actually, we see in the book of Acts, he learned to do that. He faces trial and opposition and imprisonment, and he stands fast. He stands fast. He is a forgiven failure who learned from his mistakes and learned to stand fast for Jesus Christ. And his message to us tonight, the message of the Lord to us tonight, is to encourage us to stand fast. When we get to the end of this book in a couple of weeks' time, in chapter 5 and verse 12, we see that is the very reason that Peter writes his letter to these Christians. He says, chapter 5, verse 12, I've written to you briefly, why? To encourage you and testify that this is the true grace of God. So stand fast in it. Because Peter knows firsthand that under pressure, in the face of potential suffering, we just want to do a runner. We keep our mouths shut. We keep our heads down. Praise God for the strength he's given to Isabel to stand up at school. Isn't that a joy? Did you spot in our reading the very real pressure facing these Christians? They are facing peer pressure. Nothing new in our culture, in school or at work or in our clubs or in our non-Christian homes if we come from there. The pressure of peer pressure, it's there in verse 4 of our chapter 4. Have a look. Look at the way that Peter describes the way these believers are being treated. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. Never forget, at university, a lovely Christian girl lived in the house that we were living in as students, and there's all these lads, and they said, what a waste of a body, because you live for Christ. They said to me, why don't you get drunk? They spent the whole time trying to get me drunk. I said, I'm not going to get drunk. I'm following Jesus. At times, I just long to be just like them and fit in. We know the pressure, don't we? To blend in, heads down, be like everybody else. It would be so much easier. And people are just surprised that you just don't join in. Peer pressure is a huge thing. Being on your own. Well, we saw in the passage that Jesus had changed these people's lives. Look what they were like before they became Christians, these people he writes to. Verse 3, this is their before Jesus Christ story. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. Basically, that's sex, sex, drunkenness, sex, sex, sex. A bit like our culture, isn't it? Nothing's changed. That's how you used to live. But actually, now you are believers in Christ. He has saved you. But now you're different. You're sticking out like a good thumb. People are mocking you. They heap abuse on you. And that is never, ever easy to be the odd one out in the office, the odd one out at school, the odd one out at the Christmas party. The pressure is on to blend in, plunge back into your old life. I guess if we're honest, we've all felt that pressure. Is the Christmas party season coming soon in office, is at work? The pressure will be on to be the gossip the next day in the office, or the gossip at school after that party. Well, two things Peter tells us tonight to help us with that very real pressure of peer pressure. Two very simple things. The first is this: be armed. Second, be alert. Firstly then, be armed. The idea is being ready to face the battle. Battle ready against sin, the world, the flesh, the devil, your mates, your family, your colleagues, your club. Armed, ready. Peter's already said back in chapter 2, verse 11, that actually we're in a battle that's waging war against our souls. Did you spot how we are to arm ourselves for this spiritual fight, to live for Jesus in the face of peer pressure? It's there in chapter 4 and verse 1. Peter writes, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude as Jesus. The way to arm yourself, the way to be battle ready day after day, is to have the same mindset, the same attitude as the Lord Jesus. I wonder, have you ever tried to imagine yourself into somebody else's mindset? My mother-in-law is an absolute star. I love it a bit. She makes me laugh. She's a great character. And for the last 25 years, that I've known her, she's been consistent in her approach in dealing with vermin in North London. She's had squirrels in the roof and rats under the skirting board. One day a rat jumped out of the cutlery drawer. Squirrels and rats. Now what does she do? She arms herself with the same mindset as the vermin. You can see her walking around the house thinking, think squirrel. Think rat. And any little hole she finds, any gap she finds, she fills with chicken wire. And she phones me up and tells me she's so excited to have found another hole. And actually been very effective generally for many years to protect her home from the epidemic in North London of grey squirrels and rats. Now what is the mindset of Jesus? How is he thinking as he faces life on earth? What is that attitude we need to develop and arm ourselves with? Well, it's simply this. We see it in chapter 3 and verse 18. It is his story, the pattern of suffering and then glory. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. That's what Jesus is doing in the cross. He's dying to save you. He was put to death in the body but made alive in the spirit. So Jesus knew that he was going to face suffering in life, but that one day he'd be raised again and taken back to his Father's glory. Suffering, then glory. It's the Nike tick, isn't it? We will face suffering now, but there is glory to come. Suffering now, but glory to come. In your thinking, in your expectations for this life, realize that following Jesus will be costly at times. It'll be tough to stand out. To suffer for following Jesus is actually a normal part of the Christian life. To be the odd one out, to be made feel odd for being different, will be part of the normal Christian life. That's how it's going to feel sometimes in the office or at work or with your family or at school. Jesus suffered, and he says, if we follow him, we will face suffering. Expect it. Don't be surprised, but arm yourselves with Jesus' attitude. Suffering now, the hope of glory to come. Suffering now, the hope of glory to come. Jesus suffered, didn't he? And he said that if you follow me, that'll be how it'll go at times. It's not easy, is it, when we face suffering from those who are opposed to us? But look at what Jesus says about the ultimate reality. Verse 5, the ones who mock us, unless they turn to Jesus Christ, which they're quite able to do, will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Judgment is coming for the mockers of Jesus. It's worth suffering now and facing glory and not facing judgment because we're following and trusting Jesus. And the reality is, verse 6 goes on to say, for this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead. So these must be believers who are martyred for their faith. They heard the gospel and they died for the gospel. That what happened was this, that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body. The world thought in the courts, these Christians were a waste of time, get rid of them. They suffered and died. But actually, what does God think? Well, no, they will live according to God in regard to the Spirit. Believers might face sufferings in the law courts. They might be martyred for their faith, as many are around the world today, because the world thinks they're a waste of time, get rid of them. But actually, according to God's standards, his judgment, they will live in glory. They will live in glory. Forewarned is forearmed. Be armed with the same attitude as Jesus. Secondly, be armed and be alert. Verses 7 to 11. I don't know what wakes you up in the morning that gets you excited to get out of bed. It's 6 o'clock and it's time to face the day. I hate it. I've gone through 20 alarms now and I hate them all. They bring bad memories. I hate being woken up in the morning, but it's just got to happen. Life has got to happen. And when the alarm goes off, it's saying, wake up, Steve, face the day. Be alert. The day is here, get on with it. Get out of bed, get everything else out of bed, and get to work. Get your kids to work. Get the dog out. Sort it out, Reese. Get up. Be alert. Well, we see that Jesus reminds us to be alert through the Apostle Peter. He says, verse 7, the end of all things is near. Jesus is coming back. Glory's coming. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind that you may pray. Be alert. Jesus is coming back. Be alert. And there's three little things we're told to do to help us to be alert in our passage today. Three little things. Pray, love, and serve. Basically, live out the Christian life. Pray. Pray. Do you start the day by saying, Lord, I'm not sure what I'm going to face today. It might be tough, it might be easy, but give me strength to stand up for you. Help me, Father. I need you. Lord, I need you. Throughout this day, I need your strength and grace. Great thing to pray, isn't it? I wonder whether we pray for each other like that. Do we pray together like that? Do we pray with our families at breakfast like that as we face each day? Pray in dependence on the Lord. The Lord is coming back. Keep your mind sharp, be alert, and depend on the Lord. And then Peter goes on to talk about the practicalities of life together as God's people. These verses 8 to 11, are all about community life, the family of God, the people of God. You see, in the face of suffering, in the face of opposition, we need each other. I need you. You need me. We need each other to stay strong. Can you see how that's encouraged in these verses? In the face of peer pressure and rejection and suffering, what are we to do? We're to find strength amongst the people of God. Look at verse 8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as the one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and the power forever and ever. What a great picture of church life. Church is not to be a holy huddle, is it, where we only see each other all week long? It's a place to come and to get strength, so we can go out from here to live for Jesus, whatever we face. So how are you doing at loving each other, of welcoming people, of saying, come round, a few of us are going out for coffee, do you want to come with us? Come round for a meal, how's it going in the Christian life? How can I pray for you? And God has gifted us all to serve. It's the ministry room of the house. How are we serving each other? Because as we do that, we're showing God's grace and love and kindness to each other, and we're strengthened to face the week. Do you know, I love Sundays. They give me joy in my heart and a skip in my step as I face the new week, because I've been with my brothers and my sisters. And I forget the carnival this year. At the end of the carnival, in my heart I was singing, thank you, Lord Jesus, for my brothers and sisters in Christ. What a great bunch of friends. Encouraging me to live the Christian life. When you miss out on church, you're missing out on the strength the Lord wants you to have. In keeping alert, keeping each other sharp. How's it going? How's it going at work? Is it okay? Is it really tough? What can I pray for? Look, you didn't say anything, but let's pray that this week you do say something. Or you're about to go back out with that non-Christian guy. Look, just don't do that. Follow Jesus. It's tough, I know, but just follow Jesus. It's costly, but let me pray for you so you can follow Jesus. We need each other. And we keep each other alert by gathering as God's people week after week in small groups, in 24/7, in 242, in prayer triplets, during the week for meals. Support texting each other verses. Great thing to do. We keep each other alert by gathering as God's people, loving, serving, sharing, using our gifts so that people might know God's grace in their lives through us. It's a simple message, isn't it? We will face the pressure to blend in with everybody else. The pressure's on the Church of England to do just that. You're just too different to the world. Just change your views on morality and you'll be just like us. And we will be very comfortable with that. No, we are to hold fast to God's word. To stand fast to the truth. To be armed. To be alert. Because Jesus has changed our lives. Jesus changes our lives. We must pray for Hannah and Isabel this week. They've come out publicly and they said, I'm following Jesus. And actually to pray that God would protect them this week and protect us all to stand fast in an unpopular gospel, but a gospel that saves. Jesus changes lives. We need each other. Be armed. Be alert. Let me pray. Lord, take this word into all of our hearts. Bring it to our minds this week. Help us to show your grace to each other, to keep each other following Jesus. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you protect Hannah and Isabel throughout this coming week and throughout their whole lives. May they be women of God who speak of you, who draw others to you, who show Jesus to this lost world. Thank you for changing their lives. Amen.